You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Christina Tobin, the founder and chair of the Free and Equal Elections Foundation and the president of Free and Equal, Inc. Christina, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, David, for having me.
Christina, I saw a debate the other day, which was really fabulous. It was the 2012 third party candidate debate with four candidates, and it was broadcast live on the internet. I want to talk about that in a moment. Of course, there's another debate coming up, hopefully, as long as this storm doesn't postpone it. But if it does, I heard that you have alternate dates. I want to get into that in a minute. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, I want to just read something to them and then ask you a couple of questions, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. This is from the website freeandequal.org, and also if listeners go to Wikipedia, they can see something similar but with more information. But it says here that you're the founder of Free and Equal Elections Foundation, as I mentioned before, which is a nonpartisan, full-service ballot access consulting and petitioning firm that works with candidates across the political spectrum and across the United States. You're also vice president of Taxpayers United of America, and you serve on the board of Coalition for Free and Open Elections. Now, you started your career as a nonpartisan ballot access coordinator, and you're an expert in defending signatures and coordinating petition drives, and you have helped gather and defend over 1 million signatures for independents, the Green Party, the Constitution Party, the GOP, the Democratic Party, the Libertarian Party, and the Socialist Equality Party. There's a lot in there. So for the benefit of the listeners, and by the way, it's very impressive, obviously 1 million signatures to do anything in the 1 million range is impressive. But what exactly is Taxpayers United of America? And what is a nonpartisan ballot access coordinator? And what exactly does it mean when you defend signatures? I know that's a lot.
Sure.
You could take as much time as you need.
Well, sure. Those are all the things that I've done in the past. You described our sister entity, Free and Equal, Inc., which is a petitioning company, which is still alive, kicking and running. And we plan on using that entity to put proportional representation on the ballot in California in the near future, working with great groups like fairvote.org. And I believe signatures for that anywhere upwards of 300,000 to 500,000 signatures. But yeah, what I did was help gather over 1 million signatures for kids across the ballot. Since I was probably 18 years of age, and in 2008, I was the national ballot access coordinator for Ralph Nader and helping him get over 500,000 signatures nationwide. In 45 states plus D.C., we got a ballot, but we couldn't get them in all 50 states because we didn't have enough money. But prior to that, it really derived from my dad in Illinois. My dad actually runs Taxpayers United of America. He's been running one of the largest taxpayer groups for 35 years now, based out of Chicago. And when he ran for governor in 98, they wrongfully knocked him off the ballot. He ran as a libertarian, 18 years of age, not even. And I didn't like what the system did to him. He had to gather, third parties and independents had to gather 5 times more signatures than D's and R's in Illinois, 25,000 versus 5,000. There's no logic to that. It's unconstitutional. And Dad turned in over 60,000 signatures, and the state board still wrongfully knocked them off because they didn't want more voices and choices. So since then, I've been very passionate about getting candidates on the ballot for my dad. I got him on the ballot 4 years later as lieutenant governor in Illinois successfully. And then the Green Party in 2006 in Illinois got them on the ballot. And of course, Nader in 08 and helped a lot of different candidates simultaneously. And I actually recently, several months ago, resigned from Taxpayers United of America, and I started working full-time for Free and Equal Elections. While I was working with Taxpayers United of America, I traveled around the country for about 2 years holding press conferences county by county, learning about the fact that the number one budgetary problem we have in the U.S. is government pensions. We found there were government employees that would receive an estimated lifetime pension payouts of sometimes as high as $16 million for one government employee.
Wow.
And double dippers. And, you know, the real problem was the teachers, the people, the unions and the administrators and the government officials creating laws that were just unsustainable, paying these government pensions that are just unsustainable. And that's the reason we're really in a crisis today. Yes, the war on drugs, those are all costly, but nothing compared to government pensions. That's where the hole is. So I recently left Taxpayers United of America. Now I work full time for Free and Equal Elections, the Free and Equal Elections Foundation. And we could talk more about that if you would like.
Yes, I would like to. But what exactly does it mean to defend signatures? What does that entail?
Well, that's something I've done in the past. For example, in Illinois, it takes 25,000 signatures to get on the ballot. And I don't know, back in 2002, we turned in over 50, 60,000 signatures. So they have all these rules. You can't paperclip the petitions together. They have to be notarized. They have to be in numerical order. If you have one out of numerical order, they could scratch the entire stack of petitions. Imagine having to bind pieces of paper, 8.5 by 11, that are as tall as your shoulders or even your head. And each petition has at least 10 signatures from registered voters throughout Illinois. Typically, it's very hard to get volunteers to do these sort of things for free. You have to pay signature gatherers. You know, sometimes $1, $2, $4, $5, $6 a signature. Very costly. And then some states like Connecticut, you have to be a resident in order to gather signatures. So if you have professional people who gather signatures for a living, you can't fly them in. Of course, if you fly them in, sometimes they say, well, you can have them as long as they're with a resident at full time. This is so rigged. It's a two-party system that has wrongfully created these ballot access barriers. One of the two key reasons why the two-party system exists today. Number one, because of the creation of the Australian ballots back in 1890. You know, suddenly the two-party system became strong. They used these ballot access restrictions to, well, keep more voices and choices, like my father, for example, for governor 98, off the ballot. Even Congressman Ron Paul said himself in the last election, the number one reason why he didn't run for party or independent candidate was because of the restrictive ballot access barriers. So defending signatures is very difficult. It's very complicated in some states. Let's say if you go to defend signatures, there could be terminals of up to 10, 20, 30 different people. At the same time, you have the government employee in the middle in front of a computer. You have somebody on the right side that's acting to keep this independent or third party candidate off the ballot. It's usually a government employee and the taxpayers are paying for it, which is unconstitutional. And then you have somebody like me or a volunteer who wants to have the independent candidate like Ralph Nader on the ballot or the Green Party or my dad on the ballot. And you go through them line by line and it costs the taxpayers hundreds, if not millions of dollars. And then the legal fees, it's just an unconstitutional measure. And some say that, well, maybe we should have a flat filing fee instead of signature requirements. Louisiana and Colorado cost $500 to get on the ballot. Those are things we'll be talking about next year through Free and Equal Elections, the foundation.
Yeah, it is a shame. I guess once they're in power, they want to make sure nobody else can get in. And I guess it's somewhat natural, like the gerrymandering that they do, but I'm sure it is unconstitutional and it's obviously unethical. Yeah, please tell me how that whole debate, what was the genesis of it? It just all of a sudden it appeared, it seemed, but did you put it together from the beginning?
Well, yeah, myself and a great crew of people that work with Free and Equal Elections. I always like to go by the quote, a true leader creates more leaders, not followers. And I've surrounded myself well around my fellow leaders. And so we pulled off seems to be a miracle in the sense that a debate moderated by Larry King last Tuesday at the Hilton Chicago. Towards the end, we had about a 3-minute standing ovation from primarily students, the youth from the crowd. I mean, I think, well, if there's anything that's going to keep me going and doing this for the rest of my life, it's thinking of moments like that. And my hope is in what we're doing and not only opening the debates and getting rid of ballot access barriers. How do we fix voter fraud? And should we implement things like instant runoff voting and proportional representation so we can increase voter participation and get rid of the spoiler effect and wasted vote syndrome through proportional representation? Well, it's those kids in that audience, that standing ovation, are the ones that I foresee, and many others as well, all voters running for office for 2014 races. And well, Free and Equal Elections, we haven't spoken much about the foundation. You can find it freeandequal.org. We're that all-purpose organization that's going to unite the grassroots movement across the spectrum and only to reform the electoral system throughout the United States, to wake up America and create that platform for everybody to run for office, to win, and to shift back our government back to the origins of the Constitution.
Yeah, that would be great. How did you land Larry King?
He got a hold of us through Aura TV, and I said, hey, they're like, yeah, we're Larry King. I'm like, does Larry King want to moderate? And they said, sure. And the rest is history. It was really easy to do, and they were a great team to work with. I mean, considering we had a couple weeks to put everything together, we had little to no hiccups, and they were just nice people to deal with. So I look forward to working with them again in the future.
Yeah, I never heard of Aura TV, but then again, I'm not much of a TV guy. Who are they exactly?
Well, they're the TV program for Larry King. He's now independent, no longer with CNN, and probably independent for many good reasons. The money in media is definitely a problem, as the money in politics is. That's why we have all these problems from SOPA, NDA, NDAA, Patriot Act, and so on. But, you know, he's independent now, and I'm glad Aura TV's rightfully so. Their logo was up there. People need to know more about them because, well, they did a great thing by being a part of this historic event, and I am very thankful for what they did, and kudos to them. We made a great team. It was a lot of fun sitting next to him and co-moderating Larry King. He was a great guy, and I told him, I said, you know, this means a lot to me. He's like, no problem, and he really enjoyed himself. He felt that crowd, and it was a great experience.
I heard that the crowd was a lot bigger than you expected, and you had to move to a larger room, right?
True, we had to upgrade. We originally had a venue of about 100 people, and we upgraded it to 2,500 to the Hilton Chicago. So, yeah, it was a great decision, and the Hilton was so accommodating. We look forward to working with them in the future as well. And the crowd was wonderful. We probably had close to 1,000 people, and mostly kids, and we could have had more, but, you know, we wanted to have breathing room for the media all around it, and it just worked out very smoothly, and it was just a nice crowd of people, you know, nobody causing disruptions, just everybody understanding that we are here truly to talk about the real issues. And as you know, one of our questions is about the NDAA and about amending the Constitution, about top two, the biggest threat ever towards our electoral process that we have to defeat in Arizona, Prop 121 this November. If we don't, then we're doomed. This is corporate interest essentially even taking over the Democratic or Republican Party. It's pretty scary, but it was just really great. And we look forward to holding our second debate, hopefully this Tuesday, October 30th in Washington, D.C. But we're very aware of that hurricane, and we're taking that seriously, and we may change the date to the day before the election, November 5th. So stay tuned. We'll know by tomorrow. But in any case, we're holding the debate no matter what, and we look forward to you being a part of it.
That's great. And I wanted to ask, and you had brought it up briefly about accommodating the media. Who was there from the mainstream media exactly?
Oh, gosh, not many. I mean, I guess the Washington Post showed up, and I did an interview. I guess we kind of did get some mainstream knowledge. CNN Radio did an interview with them. As you know, MSNBC, Lawrence O'Donnell covered it. So we definitely made some moves there, but it's not as if they were the first ones to show up. If anything, they were the last ones to jump on board. It was the international media. I really look forward to working with groups like RT America throughout Russia and Al Jazeera. And of course, Aura TV was great through YouTube and Link TV, WDHT, the last, I think, Indian affiliate based down in Florida, you know, through TV stations. You know, just some really great entities. And as we started to build that momentum and we have really great publicists and executive producers and producers. You know, it's just, this is so different from my experience of putting on a debate in 2008 we did with Ralph Nader and Chuck Baldwin, the Mayflower in D.C. And it was a two-person show, a woman and a guy, the two of us who did that in 24 hours. So it was so cool. It's so cool to have a great team of not only people who are specialized and wonderful what they do, but they're so passionate about the cause. And, you know, money is just a tool. It's not something that will ever own us. And there's just far more honest people in the world than there are not. And we at Free and Equal Elections, check us out at freeandequal.org for more about us, for our debate as well. If the date happens to change with the weather, then that's what needs to happen. But we are truly all partisan or nonpartisan grassroots movement to make the world a better place. I would say, you know, the big problem, the reason we have the problems today, David, is because of the money in politics. And, you know, the Democrats and Republicans alike, they've been playing us the two-party stranglehold of the system for over a century now. As I mentioned before, ballot access barriers. And then, of course, the Federal Election Commission Act of 1974. I mean, these are the two lifelines. If we could cut those cords, the two-party system would just drop dead. And so, you know, what we need to do is fire the youth to run for office. And we will. And we're going to provide that national database. Our whole team is here to stay after the election. This is just the beginning for us. We're going to launch a national database listing every single candidate running for office. Ron Paul said it best. Those congressional races are far more important. The state, local, all those little bitty races are far more important than the presidential race. So we got to look beyond 2012, not be down about it, but look at that light. Not even at the end of the tunnel. The light is getting brighter every day. It's within grasp now, within reach, that is. And we got to grab onto that. And we're going to provide that platform, not only for them to run for office, to show them how to win, how to run a campaign, how to get on the ballot. Boy, we have the experts to tell them all the ins and outs for that, so they don't get wrongfully knocked off. Connecting them with constitutional lawyers in their office, we have in their state. And we're going to provide all the sort of resources. But on top of that, we're also going to be holding conferences next year, uniting experts, honest media, organizations, authors. And we're going to create that, I guess, a place for these kids, these people who want to run for office all of ages, races, doesn't matter, gender, these tools as to, well, you know, what exactly is instant runoff voting and proportional representation? Click on this link to learn more of our conference of Rob Ritchie with Fair Vote and Ballotpedia and Sunshine Review and Citizens in Charge all coming together to speak about these topics. And we're going to bring in international people as well that specialize in these topics. And we're really going to create that platform not only to inspire people to run for office, but to educate them as well.
Christina, how is Free and Equal funded?
By people like yourself, by the average voter, all ages, races, just the people, we the people. We truly are grassroots. We're a nonprofit, tax write-off. Well, we just rely on the people to do things like hosting a debate by Larry King and what we're doing in Washington, D.C. So any support that your listeners can give to us, $5 donations, $10 donations, it adds up and we use it for the great causes. And you can go to freeandequal.org to donate today on the donate tab there. So thank you so much for asking.
Christina Tobin, the founder and chair of Free and Equal Elections Foundation, I want to thank you so much for the time you took out explaining all this to the listeners. And thanks for doing what you're doing. I mean, obviously, you're doing it because you believe in America and you want to make it a better country.
Thanks, David. Take care.